another episode of Inspirator. Be inspired, be inspiring. Inspirator is an exclusive show from Inspiron Toastmasters with the vision to inspire a leader and a speaker in you. And I'm your host, Royal D'Souza, the president of Inspiron Toastmasters and a storyteller by passion. One evening in Bangalore, I was all alone in my room. When the clock struck 12, I decided to watch a horror movie. I was having this cheeseburst pizza with extra toppings, extra cheese, and extra spices to spice things up. And the movie's name was 6 minus 5 is equal to 2. It was a Kannada movie. The story was pretty much average. Basically, six youngsters, they had been for a camping in a secluded forest. They go missing one by one, and at the end, only one survives. And this was the least scariest movie which I ever watched. But the tremors which I felt at the end, it still gives me shivers down my spine. It was around 2:30 a.m. and it was the last part of the movie, and the ghost was about to be revealed. And I was mentally prepared for this obvious situation. The music was getting intense, and at the exact moment when the ghost was revealed, the light and my TV turned off. Time stood still. I let fear and darkness encapsulate me. I immediately took my main door keys and started running towards the main door, like a little kid running towards his mother after someone stole his candy. And I was trying to unlock the main door again and again, but all my attempts failed. No matter how much hard I tried, the lock wouldn't open. My palms were sweating, throat was dry, and I could feel my heart racing like a horse. After a few minutes, I calmed myself and I realized it was a power failure with a strange coincidence. I switched on the flashlight and I also realized that the door was never locked. The door was never locked. I let the overthinking cloud over me, and due to which I couldn't see that the door was never locked. I never realized that. But the fact is, the door was locked, and it was thoroughly locked that even the best keysmith in the world couldn't open it. The door was locked in my mind. How many doors in your life you think are locked but aren't? The doors of opportunities, the doors for relationships, and the doors for your dreams. What is stopping you from it? The overthinking, fear, or lack of self-confidence? There are moments in life where we get stuck. We don't know what to do. Low self-confidence encapsulates us, like darkness encapsulating the light. I know how it feels. I had been there. I know it's not easy as it looks. And to help you to get out of difficult situation and to give you an amazing insights along with a boost of confidence, today we have amongst us a special guest. Someone who has achieved the highest educational award in Toastmasters, that is the Distinguished Toastmasters Award. She is a double DTM. She credits Toastmasters for helping her develop as a leader and as a speaker. She is someone who is passionate to work with mid-level professionals and help them build and maintain deep levels of self-confidence through online training and coaching. She tries to live by the quote that happiness depends on your mindset and your attitude. I welcome today on this show a dear friend of mine and my mentor, a confidence multiplier, a keynote speaker, Chimmu Kutty. Welcome, Chimmukutty, for this show.
Thank you so much, Royal. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Any opening remarks, Chimmukutty? Anything you'd like to share?
So after listening to your story, I was inspired. And I realized that all our limitations are set by ourselves, not by the outside world. So I would like each of us to think about that. Why aren't you doing something? It's not because the world told you that you can't do it. It's because you convinced yourself that you can't. The answer is within you. The key is within you itself. And like Royal said, the door was not locked even. So that's the thought that I would like to leave you with at the beginning.
Wonderful. So can you share us your story of transition from banking career to a self-confidence coach? Because I found it very interesting. I've heard this before in one of your programs, and it really inspired me a lot. And I thought this story, most of our audience would, someone will be there in the audience who would love to listen it. So can you share your transition?
Most definitely. Like many things which happen in life, right? The twists and turns of my life were also, looking back, I would say it was serendipity. It just happened. So I was working in a bank, as you know, and there came a time when my daughter was in 9th standard and she needed my attention at home to help her with her studies. And that was the time that I used to come late from work and then have no time to give her no attention, no time to give her any attention to help her. She was struggling. So at that time, I decided to take a stand. The bank will go on with or without me. My absence will not be felt, but my absence from my daughter's life will definitely be felt by her at this time when she needs me the most. And so it came about that I decided to quit the bank. So they say that when one door closes, another opens. It was in that year, the very year that I quit the bank, that I got selected as an area director. And this 1 year, I will say, was the making of me. I discovered so many skills that I had, which I never imagined before. As an area director with 5 struggling clubs, 4 of whom were corporate clubs, I had to visit them quite often. Being retired helped me a lot because I had the time to give to my clubs. I realized I had to take education sessions for them and I had to, you know, coach them to become achievers because they were my babies, right? And in that year, I discovered my skills of being a soft skill trainer. I discovered that I loved it. I love to come and speak and train and teach and make a difference in people's lives. And so with this thought, I got certified as a soft skill trainer. That was the first step. Then the next step was I realized that I can impact people more deeply by becoming a coach, which is the next step, really, isn't it? So I got certified as a life coach. So how we came to confidence is another story, which I will tell you a little later. So that's where we are right now.
I like that cliffhanger what you gave. I'll tell you some other time later. So it's a very interesting journey. From area director, that was your beginning, your exploration stage, what we can say. So I'm pretty sure after listening to that, many of them will try to fight for the position of area director in Toastmasters, and perhaps they'll also discover something about themselves which they don't know. And Timu, whenever there's a major changes in life, it also affects people around us, right? Can you share the changes what you have experienced in your life, and you know, how did it affect people around you?
Most definitely. So we don't live in a vacuum, right? We live in a family environment. So as long as you are doing what is expected of you, people accept you, okay, this is what you're supposed to do, life is going on. The minute you decide to break that monotony, step out of the rat race, everyone will come and try to put their version of reality on you. So it was the same for me. I had a lot of family drama. My father and my aunt, how can you leave a bank job? And my mother-in-law, I will now give up the kitchen. My daughter, I'm so happy you'll be at home for me. My husband, are you crazy? So everyone had their version of what they wanted me to do. Not one of them asked me what I wanted to do. That was an eye-opener for me. It took me 1.5 years to finally quit the bank because I was going through so much of conflict in my mind. Because when family pressurizes you, you are expected to do what you are supposed to do as per them. And it was a great learning experience because the minute I decided to stand up for myself, nobody had any objections. Nobody. And they all said, go ahead. So till you are firm in your mind, right? You can be swayed by everyone and anyone who wants to control you. That was a means of control. It is nothing else. Once everyone understood that I will not be a threat to them, their lives will go on as usual, maybe even better because I'm at home. So everyone sort of reconciled with the idea. But the change to acceptance came when I was firm in my mind that this is what I want to do, and I took a stand. That is when things start changing.
Very interesting. Stand up for yourself. That's the takeaway over here. But while you were so firm about it, like, wasn't there a self-doubt or some sort of fear within you? More than doubt, a fear that, am I taking the right step? What if, you know, you're just walking in the dark, right? You're exploring a new path. So were you going through that phase as well, the fear, and how did you overcome that?
Absolutely. I told you, it took me 1.5 years to finally quit, and my daughter had to reach 9th standard. She had a music exam the next month. She was struggling with her midterms. And that was when I realized that it's not about me. It's about what do I bring to the table. And I had to think really hard. Did my presence or absence, will it bring down the bank? No, right? But the same thing cannot be said at home. Now, when children are growing up, there's a very small window where they need you. After which, they don't need you at all. They are independent. They grow up. Did I want to be there in her life during these impactful years? Yes. That was what made me firm up my decision. Because yes, I was feeling guilty. When your near and dear ones pile it on you, you will feel guilty. I felt very, very low in self-confidence because I did not know whether it was the right step. I told you, I didn't have anything else planned in the future, right? This is just one step. This one foot in front of the other. That was the policy I was following. So yes, it took me that much time to work through the guilt and understand that yes, it's okay to feel guilty. But the point is, are you doing this for them? Are you going to live life as per them? Or are you going to live life for you, where you make an impact in your role? And that is what really, you know, made me feel so confident that I was taking the right decision. So always when we are in such binding situations, think about it, look at it this way. Are the people around you telling you this because they want you to stay in that same box? They want to keep you there where you're all defined, and they're afraid that if you come out, you will be a totally new rebellious person who they can't control, which is what families do basically. You think about it. If anyone wants to go outside of the comfort zone, everyone will try to bring them back because that's where they see them. But the minute you realize this is what I want to do, and you're so firm, that belief comes from inside you, immediately, right, all your objections will fall off. I'll tell you a very small example.
Yes.
So I wanted to poke my nose. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal, is it? It's a very small deal.
Yes.
This happened right after my daughter was born. Okay, I want to put a diamond in my nose. That's also just a fancy of mine. But we don't have this tradition in our family. So I told, now since we are living with our family, I told my husband and my in-laws, and they said, no, no, you're crazy, you won't do all these things. But I wanted to do it, right? So how do you convince them to let you do what you want and it will not be a danger to them? The minute I realized that this is what I want to do, every day I used to wear an artificial nose pin and walk around in front of them. So they got used to seeing it. Then one day I just say, I'm going to poke my nose, and I went off. No objection. So this is how you do it. You don't fight. You just be very strong with your might. Your internal power is really, really strong once you decide.
Very interesting. So basically, you have to prepare the people around us that, okay, you are going through this transition, and you are informing well in advance so that they are also prepared for what's coming.
Yes.
Now, if someone wants to completely change their career and follow a new path, what would you suggest them, or what would you tell them to brace themselves for? Is it something similar to what you said just now, or something else also you would like to add on that?
Yes, I will tell you. So the thing in my case was, I quit without knowing what I wanted to do next. Rather, I knew I wanted to be a financial planning trainer, but I did not have experience speaking in front of people. And that was the reason that I joined Toastmasters. Now, Toastmasters changed my life because it opened up to me a whole new world of my skills, which I had in me, but I had not used. So the year of being area director defined me, I should say. I was a very timid person. I don't like conflict. And I had 4 corporate clubs. I had to visit them. To enter that place only took a lot of courage from my side, because we don't go anywhere, right? As a banker, people come to you. That was the accepted thing. Now here I had to go out all on my own, some lonesome, and enter their domain. Okay. So the tables were turned, and that year of being area director, right, it shaped me. It taught me to believe in myself. I'm not coming here as a nobody. I have an authority, but I cannot throw my authority around because it's a volunteer title. How to get people to be on your side and work together. So these were the lessons that I learned in my year of area directorship. Now for anyone who wants to switch careers or take a change, my suggestion would be, keep in mind something that you would like to do next. Unless you don't want to do anything, just want to chill out and say that you're retired. But my advice, write down everything that you ever wanted to do in your life and see what is that which is attracting you at this moment. And before you quit your job, start doing it as a side hustle. See whether it's working or not. And then you can take a decision to quit or not.
Wonderful. That's a very insight what you have given. So when you told about Toastmasters, where you explored your skills after being area director, I also recognized, because speaking was something which I was always interested about, like passionate about, but I never got a platform. And I joined Toastmasters, and through you, I got connected to DTM Kadri Peti. It was long back in 2020, I still remember. And then I explored the journey of speaking. And during the COVID times, what happened was I started writing. I had a lot of stories, speeches with me. So I thought, why not I make it into stories? So I started writing my own blogs and started sharing with my Toastmasters friends over here. So right now, when I look back, I didn't know that I could write. I never had that, you know, weird dream in my, forget about writing, I'm not sure to read, right? So I started writing stories, and people start liking in Toastmasters. Even though they're not that great, they always encourage me. That's how Toastmasters work, right? So that's how I discovered how a writer in me, and that's the magic of Toastmasters, what we can say. And right now, when I see the old stories which I wrote initially, I was like, oh my god, they're not so great, but still, you know, people, they encouraged me, and because of which, because of the positive environment, I'm pretty sure even most of them also have gone through a different skill set of theirs because of the positive environment what Toastmasters provides. And that's how they grow. So that's a thing about Toastmasters, the magical thing of Toastmasters that we can say. One more thing which I wanted to ask. Now, according to your experience, how much does a confidence matter to a person, or how much difference will it make?
That's a very good question. Every decision, every action that we take, right, is based on how we perceive ourselves. So let me give an example. Suppose you are a new Toastmaster, and I'm giving a Toastmaster example because both of us are familiar with that. You are new in Toastmasters and you have been asked to go on stage and speak to people. But your perception of yourself is, no, I can't do this. I'm not a speaker. What will I do on stage? And then you go there and what happens to you? You don't do well. That was your perception of yourself. So on the other hand, if you go on stage thinking, what will I lose? Let me try. I can speak so well outside, right? Why don't I just apply what I know and try? So that builds up your confidence and you may actually do much better. And you may realize that you have a flair for this. All of us go through that phase, right? Even I was so terrified of speaking in front of people in the beginning. Absolutely terrified. And it evolves. The more you think about yourself, your perception of yourself is what gives influences every decision that you make. When you're driving, think about it. If you're very confident, the way you drive changes. If you're not confident, you'll be putting the brake everywhere, everybody will be overtaking you, everybody can see your confidence through your actions. That is the one thing that we can't hide. The way you interact with people, the very hello, how are you, makes a difference. If you are coming from a place of self-confidence and belief, then hello, how are you? When people know, okay, what's wrong with her? Like, why is she so down? Or doesn't she believe in herself? So every action influences your self-confidence, or rather it's the other way around. The amount of self-confidence you have influences your every action and decision. So it is really important for all of us. And all of us have it. We all have self-confidence. It's only at certain times, right, that it dips. It dips at certain times because of certain, we are confronted with something new. We take on something unusual, like being a manager or going to meet a new client. We're very nervous. At that time, we feel loss of self-confidence. Otherwise, we all operate at a pretty high level of self-confidence.
Yes, when we spoke about confidence, this is in terms of Toastmasters. Generally, we say that Toastmasters is a place where leaders and speakers are made, right? But in my view, these two things are byproduct of something else, and that something else is the confidence. If you go to see in an actual different perspective, the moment you instill confidence, everything just pops up. Now, in terms of self-confidence, now someone is going through a difficult phase. You also might agree with me. It's very easy for someone to say, okay, you should have confidence. Or we see a lot of motivational videos, you should have confidence, you can do this, X, Y, Z. But when a person is going through a difficult phase, they will go through that, right? And if he is not having a very supportive environment, it's very difficult for that person to just come out of it or build his confidence. So are there any tricks for that? Anything particular way of what they can do for enhancing their confidence?
There are no tricks, but there are routines that you can follow regularly, which will help all of us. Now consider, you have to apply for a new job or you want to meet a new client. The more you think about it, sometimes your self-confidence just goes down. You feel intimidated. So there are three times in life when we lose our self-confidence, most of the time. The first one is when we are faced with change or the prospect of change. So when we moved from physical to online, it terrified most of us. Many of us rejected outright the online scene. It terrified us, that's why. So change and the prospect of change. The second one is when you feel loss of your peer, your face, your pressure, your reputation in front of peers. For example, that's why many people hesitate to speak up in front of meetings, or they don't raise their hand because they feel if I say something, people laugh at me. Loss of face is a huge deterrent to bringing your confidence down. You feel, you imagine that what I say, na, they will laugh at me, and I don't want to lose face. That's the second thing. The third thing is you feel overwhelmed. Now, in times in this pandemic time, when we all had to stay at home, all the boundaries were blurred, right? Home is blurred, office is blurred, work is blurred, calls are blurred. The kid, the dogs, the in-laws, outlaws, everybody is in one space. We feel overwhelmed. At the time, we feel loss of self-confidence. How can I work here? I can't do anything. We feel lethargic. These are the three points where a person loses self-confidence. And for each of these cases, there is a way to overcome it. And that is a whole nother methodology, which I will cover in some time.
Okay. So now let's get into an interesting topic, that is a vision board. So I had attended one of your sessions. Actually, vision board was there in my bucket list. As I told you in that session also, 1 week ago, I was just writing my what are things that has to be done, and that vision board was there. And then I saw your ad in Instagram, and that's how we got connected once again through the vision board. And vision board is something where most of successful people do. Most of them might not be aware of it. Most of the entrepreneurs or other who are successful in their own different fields, they have a vision board in one or the other form. So can you just say our audience, like, what is a vision board and why is it important?
Definitely. So I believe that each of us should create our own vision board. So you know, thinking, what is a vision board? Why are they going on and on? A vision board is nothing but either a physical board, or you can put it on a PPT. In pictures form, right? All your dreams and goals that you want to achieve in life without any limitations. So if I say I want a BMW and immediately my rational mind will say, are you crazy? How are you going to afford a BMW? So a vision board is a place where everything is possible. So you need to sit down with yourself and write down all your goals and put it out there in pictorial form. This is because you are giving up your goals to the universe and saying that these are the things I want. Yours not to wonder how it's going to happen. It will happen. Yours just to put that why you want it there. Right? That is your role. And just leaving it up to the universe will make things happen in really miraculous ways when you look back and think about it. So let me tell you this example of John Assaraf. He was speaking and he was telling the story that he shifted to a new house, and while cleaning up, he found one old vision board of his, and in that vision board was a picture of the very house that he had shifted into. Imagine that. So without your knowledge also, whatever you put out there into the universe with conviction and belief, right, it works. Don't bother about the outcome. The outcome is not in your hands. What you want, how it will come about, is not in your hands. What you want is in your hands. You put it out there. So and life will have so many twists and turns which will get you what you want.
So basically, the why is important and how the universe will provide. Now, generally, when we speak about all this, you know, the law of attraction, we can say, or the universe thing, I think around 70 to 80% of the people, they'll say, what is this? What are these people talking about, right? So can you just brief, like, how it works, like, in your own words or your own magical experience, in your life experience, something that you thought, you know, something which is fantasy and which will never happen and just happened because of the process, what you had followed through the vision board.
So I have been creating vision boards since my late teens. And what I understood about myself was I did not know where I'm going to work, but I only knew that I don't want to sit in an office and stare at the same four people day in and day out. So I got a job in a bank. I mean, I never imagined that I would end up in a bank, but that was perfect for me, right? I meet people every day. My colleagues, I only have to interact with them in the off time. which is perfect for a person of my friendly temperament. Perfect. And then as we got along, I said, okay, what else can I learn in this environment? And I heard about foreign exchange. And I wrote in my vision board, I want to learn about this. And a few years later, I was put into Forex, where I not only learned all about Forex, I went to the highest level of doing mini consultation. I loved it because you have to reach out to everyone across the world and, you know, reconcile all your entries. It was, I just had a blast. If you ask other people, they'll say, oh God, reconciliation is so boring. Not for me. So it came true what I wrote. And one thing which came true really fast, I will tell you. So just, it was like September, and my colleagues were all talking about something, and they said, you know, Andaman and Nicobar Islands are so beautiful. You should visit there. So I said, okay, fine. What is there? I'll write it in my vision. Next week, I get a call. I get a call from my cousin. He's in the Coast Guard. And he says, I have been posted to Andamans. Why don't you come over? And the next week for Dasara holidays, nobody will give you leave at this short notice. But I got leave. My husband and got leave. My daughter was anywhere in leave. We are in the Andamans.
Wow.
I don't know how it happened.
No, that's
if you asked me 2 weeks ago, yeah, I would not even have heard of Andaman Nicobar Islands and where it is. But then here I was. So my principle is, it doesn't matter where the thought comes from, write it down. You never know how it's going to come true. I wrote that I want to visit USA years back. Everyone, all my relatives are going to USA. Even I want to go. So I wrote. It seems like an impossible dream for me, because coming from middle class family, how will I go with all family? Not at all possible. But I wrote it anyway. Years later, I got a chance to go. Only me. Who would have thought? That was my dream come true. So, never underestimate the power of dreams. And it was a sponsored trip. So, imagine that.
Wow. That's a pretty interesting thing. And I would like you to share the one more story of the bullet which you had shared in the vision board workshop. I just love that. Can you please share it?
Okay, I will share that. So when I was in my early 20s, right, I wanted to learn to ride a bullet motorcycle. And my father said, girls don't ride motorcycles. You know, keep quiet. So I kept quiet because what authority is telling me. But anyway, I wrote it in my vision board. I had a picture also of a badass looking female, even though I don't look like that at all. Anyway, so years and years later, actually 20 years later, I was just browsing through the net and I saw one article from Royal Enfield which said they are coming to Bangalore and they're taking application to teach people how to ride. So I thought, wow, I mean, but can I do it? I mean, it's 20 years later, I'm not even a young girl anymore. Can I even do this? But then I thought, no, since it's there and it's come up here, let me apply, then we'll see. And it came true. And I could learn to ride the bullet motorcycle. And we actually went for a 50-kilometer trip. And I really enjoyed it. So because of all that, I put one more step now in my vision board, where I'll be going to Leh Ladakh. So yes, even if you think that, no, it will never happen, it'll happen. Di saal baad, it happened. All I had to do, it could have happened at any time. See now, if I think back, it could have happened at any time. Nothing stopped me. Nobody was stopping. I only had put myself into that cage of others' expectations. Girls don't ride bullets. If you're wired, you don't do these things. Okay, I didn't wear jeans also till I was in my 40s, because married ladies don't do that. Is my all these preconceived notions, you understand? So, and I realized that all the everything which was caging me, I had created myself. The minute I decided to step out, right, there was nothing which stopped me. So I want you to also think about that. What is holding you back? What are you assuming so much as gospel truth that it is not allowing you to move forward?
Very true. Like, as I started with the story, like, no, our own mindset just limits us, right? If you won't, there's a saying, right? If you won't believe in yourself, then who else will? Right? If you won't believe that you can't achieve something, or you can't win a contest, or you won't be able to buy a vehicle of your choice, then who else? That's how it is. So speaking about self-limiting beliefs, so what are the self-limiting beliefs you have observed in most of your mentees, might be your students or people around you, and how can they overcome it? There might be top three or top one self-limiting belief, like in their normal life.
Okay, so here is where I tell you how I became a confidence coach.
Oh, okay. The cliffhanger is the loop is closing now. Interesting.
So as a coach, as a soft skill trainer, as a leader in Toastmasters, I was interacting with people of all ages. Now, one thing I realized, quickly you realize if you are a leader in Toastmasters, it's a volunteer organization. If you want people to do something for you, they should know what they're going to get out of it. So all I did was I found out how they can improve by doing this. And that in, at the heart, no, what I did was raise their confidence and their belief that they could do it. As a division director, I had five guys, area directors, and we had our annual conference in a hotel. Nobody had it like that. We ran two speech crafts, we got money, and we had it in that Chancery Hotel. And for that, right, one of my area directors got Praveen, the comedian. He got him to come to our event for free. How?
You should tell me how.
Yes. So my area director saying, how can I ask him to come? He's a professional. What will he get? I mean, so always think about it when you want to increase the confidence of a person, right? Or you want, as a leader, what are you supposed to do? Okay. The first thing is you want them all to be aligned in the same direction. So we wanted that comedian to come. It would be a great achievement, right? But what will he get to come here? So we have to think in his direction. We told him that there are so many corporates here who have money for funding, and they will call him for programs. Just show yourself. And he came. And after that, he did get a lot of big programs. So it should always be a win-win situation. That is also one thing you need to keep in mind. As a leader, when you're growing your person, your subordinates, your teammates, it should always, always be a win-win situation. You can't expect people to do things for you where only you will benefit. You know, that is not leadership. Leadership is growing people around you by actually boosting their confidence. So later, when I had to actually settle on my niche, I thought back to all the things that I did. As a trainer, I got people to speak up, right? As a coach, I got people to change. As a Toastmaster leader, I had to run so many initiatives, I got it all done. But what was that I did? I boosted their confidence. And that's how I became a confidence multiplier.
Very interesting. I like that word also, confidence multiplier. It's very catchy. So any final thoughts before we wrap up, any message you want to give to our audience?
Most definitely. So I told you that there are three points, right, where we lose our confidence: when we are faced with change or the prospect of change, when we fear loss of face in front of peers, and when we are feeling overwhelmed with a new role, a new job, a situation. The way to improve your confidence, and this is for everyone, everyone can do this. First of all, face your fear. Face your fear. So there, what is your fear? It is your inner voice telling you, don't go out, don't take risk, it's dangerous for you. So it will use everything about you against you. Face your fear. So suppose you go and stand up in front of your colleagues and start speaking. What is the worst that you think will happen? They will laugh at you. So what? So what? Face it. Then come up and do it. And you see that the worst never comes to pass. So that's the first thing. Face your fear boldly and go to the end of that worst case scenario. Okay, go to the end of it. Play out the whole worst case scenario. People will laugh at me, I'll lose face, my boss will not call me at all again. Everything. For everything, you give a logical explanation. If people laugh at me, it's it's all right. I'm still me. Nothing, nobody's going to take away my value because people laugh at me. If I feel I'm not able to do this job, it's fine. I can get help. Go to the logical conclusion of every worst case scenario. This will reduce your fear by more than 50%. So the next one, okay? Once you deal with your fears, you will find that, okay, it was just like the ghost in the TV, which is waiting to come out and hunt you. It's not there. It's not real. So you're free of that. And now, the minute you get free of this, you can believe in yourself. The self-confidence comes flooding in. And that is what lets you go forward and take action. So I would like to leave you with this. Face your fear, name it, go till the end of it, face your worst case scenario. And then you will find it's nothing. It was created in your mind to scare you, to hold you back by you. And once you face that, you are free.
Beautiful. That was a beautiful conclusion note from Chimmukutty. That's our very own confidence multiplier. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and this episode has added value to you. I'm pretty sure you have a lot of questions to ask. So you can get in touch with Chimmukutty, Chimmukutty, through Instagram, LinkedIn or Facebook. And always remember, create the highest, grandest vision possible for your life. Because you become what you believe. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Royal D'Souza signing off.